you didn't have to quit so soon. it's an honor to be here. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I told my wife last night, I said, I think I found another nut. I thoroughly enjoyed myself last night. And, of course, I enjoyed, of course, the fellowship with your pastor. But to be in the service last night, that's the first time in 33 years that I've been away on a Wednesday night preaching somewhere. I've never done it. I go on vacation. When the kids were young, we would go and we'd miss one Sunday. But my wife would tell me, you're taking one white shirt. That's all you're taking. And you're not preaching. You understand that? Of course, being the head of my house, I obey. And but I just never have. And this is the first time I've ever done it. But I felt like the Lord was in it. And I certainly fell in love with your pastor and appreciate him so much, even though he has little hearts on his choo-choos on his boxers and so on. But anyway, I've never been asked that before, you know. You believe the King James Word of God? Amen. You wear boxers? Hey, I got to read this to you. Hey, how many juniors and seniors do we have here this morning? Juniors and seniors? Can you help me? Charles, can you help me, please? He's a graduate of our college, by the way. If you'll take this and hand this one for junior, and just take one off and hand it to him. If you'll fill that out, I will send you an MP3 back that has all of my sermons for one entire year. Okay, if you'll fill that out and give it to me, and I'd like to put you on our mailing list in the back. You know, that little lady, young lady right back there next to the bald-headed man. Yeah, teenage. No, she's not. She's lying. And this little lady right up here, Charles, right back front here. And make sure, hurry, Charles. Hurry, run, Charles. There you go, Charles. And fill that out and give it to me after the service. And I'll do the same thing tonight, Pastor, if that's all right with you. And senior. No. Yeah, okay. Yeah, come on. We got a spot in the old folks' home for you. You come. I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, there is an advantage to having Alzheimer's. You can hide your own Easter eggs. Yeah. Read the same newspaper every day. Leave your cell phone on. Oh, yeah. Don't think. Oh, you're welcome. I need that pad back if I could get that back. And let's see here. Oh, I got to read this to you. I started in January. I had pneumonia 5 years ago, and I was going to a pulmonary doctor for about 4 years, and I wasn't getting any help at all. And finally, I changed doctors, and they put me in the hospital, and they call it a washing or some technical term for it, but they cleansed out my lung, and I have three scars in my right lung. And the air passage is exaggerated, but I'm a preacher. But the air passage is like that, but mine is like that. So I catch a lot of stuff, and I get sick real easy. But since January, it's just been marvelous. And I've just, since I got out of the hospital and I've been able to exercise and get back on the treadmill. So I do 8 to 10 miles a day walking. And I work hard at it trying to. But somebody handed this to me on Sunday. The importance of walking. Are you ready? Walking could add minutes to your life. This enables you at 85 years of age to spend an additional 5 months in a nursing home at $7,000 per month. My grandpa started walking 5 miles a day when he was 60. Now he's 97 years old and we don't know where he is. I like long walks, especially when they're taken by people who annoy me. I joined a health club last year, spent about $400, haven't lost a pound, but apparently you have to go there. Every time I hear the dirty word exercise, I wash my mouth out with chocolate. I do have flabby thighs, but fortunately my stomach covers them. The advantage of exercising every day is so when you die, they'll say, well, he looks good, doesn't he? This is a good one. We all get heavier as we get older because there's a lot more information in our heads, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Did you love that? Here's one about a song leader and a preacher getting into it. So one week, the preacher preached on the commitment and how we should dedicate ourselves to service. The song leader then got up, frustrated, and told the choir, let's sing, I Shall Not Be Moved. The next Sunday, the preacher preached on giving and how we should give to the work of the Lord. The song leader then led the song, Jesus Paid It All. The next Sunday, the preacher preached on gossip and how we should watch our tongues. The hymn was, I love to tell the story. The preacher became disgusted with the situation. The next Sunday, he told the congregation he was considering resigning. The choir then sang, oh, why not tonight? When the preacher resigned the next week, he told the church that Jesus had led him there, and Jesus was leading him away. The choir then sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's funny. That's funny, isn't it? Romans chapter 1, verse 9. If you have that, let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Man, I felt at home last night. I felt at home today. And thank you for inviting me to come. It's an honor. Of course, my son sends his love. Bobby, Dr. Bob II, he enjoys being here with you. And I get to preach with him probably five, maybe six times a year. And it's a privilege. And my son Scott and Bob, both preachers, and I'm very proud of him. Bob's with me 21 years as an assistant pastor. And I'm glad that God's using him. Romans chapter 1, verse 9, for God is my witness. I'll not turn to Romans 8, but Romans 8, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit bearing witness. So there's a testimony that takes place in heaven concerning something. God is my witness. We're supposed to be witnesses for him, right? We're supposed to tell people about the Lord. But the Bible says that in heaven, God testifies about something about us, and that the Holy Spirit verifies that testimony. Look what he says. For God is my witness, whom I serve. Now look at this little prepositional phrase, with my spirit. Now I want you to underline that, and I think it's very important that you note something. And by the way, I'm King James only.
Amen.
This is not just a preserved book. Otherwise, it would be like an embalmed book or like King Tut.
Right.
All the ears are there, the nose is there, the eyes are there, but it's not living. This is preserved inspiration. Yeah. It's not the ink that's preserved or the paper that's preserved, because paper lasts about 100 years. That's about all it lasts. Right. What is preserved here is the inspiration. Acts 7:38 says these are lively oracles.
Yes.
The Bible says very clearly these are incorruptible words, incorruptible meaning living. Corruptible words meaning dead. You take a body, it dies, it's corrupted. You take one that's alive, it's living. This is an incorruptible seed that God has given, or there can't be a birth. Now, understanding that, you need to realize we need help. We've got to get God to come down and help us out. If we're going to preach the book, if we're going to take a stand for what's right, then we're going to have some help.
Yes.
Now, this book says here, the King James Bible, with no mistakes in it, by the way.
Amen.
Right.
It says here, with my spirit, with a small s.
Yeah, right.
That is not a mistake.
You're right.
He is talking about man's spirit,
right.
Not the Holy
God's
Spirit.
Right.
So I want you to listen carefully as we talk for a few moments. It will not be long because I'm hungry. And I want to talk to you about the key to the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. I'm going to give a little illustration. I think it'll be of help. Dave, could you come up here, please, if you would? Can you come up? Can you come up here, too? Okay, good. All right. All right. That's it, yeah. And can I use you, sir? Yeah, if you'll come on up here. Okay. All right. Who's this?
That's Jordan.
Jordan.
Lightning. You call him Lightning.
Lightning.
Lightning fast.
All right, Lightning, you stand right here, if you would. You stand right there, David. You'll come over here and stand right here. And I need a little devil here. Come on up here, son, if you would, a little devil.
That's a deacon's kid. That's a deacon's kid.
Stand right there.
I
need a little devil here. So as I talk to you about the key to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do a little role play here, and I want you to pay attention because I believe there'll be some things here that you'll remember the rest of your life, and I think it'll be life-changing, honestly, if you'll listen. There's a reason why God used a Jack Hiles.
Yes.
There's a reason why God gave the power of God to a Dr. Lee Robertson. Have you heard him preach? Very simple outline.
Yep.
Point one, point two, point three. Whoa. But boy, I baptized 1,000 every year, run 10,000 in Sunday school. You know, there's a reason why God used Dr. John Rice. Dr. John Rice, most unusual man of God I've ever met in my life. There's a reason why God used a Dr. Tom Malone.
Yes.
Or a Spurgeon.
Yeah.
Or a Moody.
Yeah.
And I hope that you'll listen, because I think that there tonight or today in this auditorium, we're not battling sins of pornography. I don't think. There may be one idiot in this room, but not many more than that. We're not battling a drunkenness or an immoral lifestyle. The thing we're battling are sins of the Spirit. So I want you to listen, because I really believe this will be something that will be life-changing for you if you'll grasp it. Father, help me. I want to be a blessing. Thank you for the Scriptures. Thank you for the Word of God, and oh, how they live and how they speak to us. And these are not out-of-date words, because they're living words. And the Bible, you said yourself, it speaks to us. You even said in one Scripture that the Scripture preaches. It's amazing. And so talk to us now. Take the Scripture. Talk to us on this day in 2008. And God, help us, please. We want to see people saved. We want to see drunkards made whole. We want to see prostitutes made whole. We want to see families put back together. And teenagers, God bless them. Father, I wouldn't start over again for all the money in the world. God bless these teenagers. What a tough time to be born and raised. And God, help us today. Holy Ghost of God, do something in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. May be seated. Let's see. I need this one, I think, right here. Turn that. Have I got it on? Good. That's a different PA man today, isn't it? John Boy's working. We fired him. We fired John Boy. Turn this one off, if you would, and then turn this one up just a little bit. Give me some treble. Put treble on it, and then turn the bass all the way down, if you would. Treble up, bass down. That's what Brother Hiles did. Yeah. I don't know why. He did it. I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I love doing this with him. You know what you just... Turn up just a little bit. Here's a man who is, turn to Matthew 10:28. A man who is lost and on his way to hell has a body, has a soul, and his spirit is dead.
Yep.
Matthew 10:28.
Yep.
Bible says very clearly, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Yeah.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, and write this down, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2. Talks about the Holy Spirit of God quickening the spirit of a man. A man that trusts Christ and gets saved. Brother Charles, I'll let you be a soul winner if you don't mind. And so come up, bring your Bible up here. It's King James, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And so he's... shut up, I'm preaching. And so face him. Okay, you're going soul winner. You face them. Don't. If I tell you to move, move. If I don't make me slap you. So here's a soul winner comes by, and he opens up his Bible, and he gives him the gospel. Do you want to be saved? Yes, he does. Okay. And this is confrontational soul winning. And so he bows his head. I'll play the part of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then comes in and brings to life the spirit of a man. According to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2, the word quickening. He's quickened. He's brought to life. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Scripture describes the person that's going to heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Wholly. That's not holy, but whole, like a whole piece of pie. Why am I talking about pie? But holy, and I pray God that your, W-H-O-L-E, you got it? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Your whole, watch it carefully, spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we start out with this man being lost. His spirit is dead. He has in him, however, a little devil. And this little devil, stand here, if you read Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, it talks about a spirit of disobedience. So a person that is lost has a spirit, but it's a spirit of disobedience. You can call it a devil. If you call it demon, you're not using Bible words. The Bible does not use the word demon. Only charismatics use that word, not Baptist people. And ask me how I know. I was preaching with Harold Seitler one time, and I used the word demon. And I sat down, and he got up and lectured me for 10 minutes after I got through preaching. So I'll never use that word again. You say he's dead and in heaven. Yeah, but if he gets a hold of a lever, he's going to take care of me. So he has a spirit of disobedience in him. But a soul winner comes by and brings, you see this, hold it up, that book. See what that is? That seed right there. You see, the womb of a woman takes the seed of a man, and conception and birth takes place. The seed here that's placed into the soul of a man, a birth takes place. And so this is incorruptible seed. This is lively oracles. These words are alive, these words that are here. And by faith, if by faith he opens his soul and receives that seed, then a birth takes place at that very moment. So he comes and presents the word. And faith on his part is the acceptance or reception of the word. You don't walk an aisle to get saved. You trust Christ to get saved. You don't pray to get saved. You trust Christ to be saved. Many times in our churches, people are saved before they even get to the altar. And they're saved before they even pray the prayer, because it's opening the heart and receiving the seed in the heart. You say, well, what if they receive an NIV seed? That's corruptible seed. And the Bible says that they embrace it, they'll become a twofold child of hell. Have you ever tried to talk to an old Methodist about being born again when he believes he's working his way to heaven? Have you ever? Have you ever talked to somebody who's embraced a Jehovah Witness, a world, New World Translation, and tried to talk to them about being, man, they're stalwart about it. They're out proselyting and trying to get other people. And that's why you need to be careful. You take a stand on that book. And don't even blink. It doesn't matter what others say. It only matters. If I have to stand before God, I'd rather stand on this position saying, God, I told him it was. Amen. Than to say, well, we weren't quite sure, you know. So this is the word of God. So you give him the word of God, right? You want to be saved? Yes, he does. Yes, okay. And so now the Holy Spirit comes in, put your arms behind, do exactly what I tell you, and binds this devil and kicks this devil out.
Right.
Put your arms behind you. And binds this devil. You're bound. So pretend like you're bound behind you. And then brings to life the spirit of this man. Now watch this now. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he, Holy Spirit, in you than he that is in the world. Okay, devil, try to come back in. Now the Holy Spirit of God, put your arms behind you, you're bound. And the Holy Spirit of God is here, and so the Holy Spirit keeps you saved, you see. And that devil cannot get back in again. So, can I use hit something else here? I'm afraid I'm going to hurt you. Okay. And so the devil tries to come back in, but he can't come back in. And you are once saved, always saved. Are you Baptist people or what? I said, once saved, always saved. So the Holy Spirit of God protects you so that you cannot lose your salvation.
Amen.
Now somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now with that in mind, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Now that means then that this power that's in you, that's protecting you so that you can stay saved, charismatic, full gospel. I wouldn't walk across the street, tell somebody how to get saved. I thought they'd lose it before I got back. Come on, somebody say amen. Full gospel. I wouldn't be a part of anything started by a woman. That's why I quit Weight Watchers. Okay, so here, like this, is protecting, okay? Now, with that in mind, though, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. So that means even though he protects you, you have the ability to quench the Spirit of God that created the world. Now, what part of you does that affect? All right, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3 with me, please. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and verse 5. John chapter 3 and verse 5. I know you know the verse, but I want you to look at it. John chapter 3 and verse 5. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, the scripture says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, talking to Nicodemus, a religious man, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now that word Spirit, there's a capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Born of Spirit, water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now there's a lot of fussing about that verse, what it means. You get a stack of commentary that says one thing, another stack over here says another. But the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And in verse 6, the scripture says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I have an arrow pointing up to the word water. It's talking about the water birth or human beings. Angels tonight know nothing about salvation. The Bible says they peer in to see why we rejoice or or why some of us rejoice, and they don't understand because they cannot be redeemed. But he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Watch this carefully. And that which is born of the, what's the word? Spirit. Talk to me now. That which is born of the?
Spirit.
Question. Is that a capital S or a small S? Wow. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Okay. That which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
The second spirit, is that a capital S or a small S? Small S. Talking about man's spirit. Oh, we're beginning to learn something here. We start out, we're lost. We got this devil in us, this spirit of disobedience. The soul winner comes by, give him the gospel. He wants to get saved. He bows his head. Holy Spirit comes in, binds that devil, kicks that devil out, and brings to life the spirit of the man. Now, according to John 3, verse 5, the Holy Spirit now is born in the spirit of that man. Watch this carefully. The spirit of man communicates with God. The soul of man communicates with other human beings. Somebody says, you got soul, baby. There's more truth to that than fiction. And then the body communicates with Pizza Hut and Burger King and pizza. Yeah, don't get one of those little dinky things. So that's what you're going to do, aren't you? You're going to get a little dinky thing. Yeah, yeah. No, that ring of that phone, it kept growing and growing and growing. And going, don't get me no little dinky thing. You get me a full-fledged pizza. And I don't want any anchovies on it either. You understand? Okay. All right. Where were we at? Oh. All right. Preaching, yeah. Okay. So get back up here. Sit down. You're lost. Okay? So here we go. Yeah. Soul winner comes by?
Yes.
Okay. Holy Spirit combines that devil, kicks him out, brings to life the spirit of man. Now, that devil tries to come back, but he can't come back because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Yeah.
And he's redeemed, sealed until the day of redemption. Okay? We found out from John 3, 5, and verse 5 and 6 that the Holy Spirit's born in the spirit of this man. Okay? Now watch this carefully. Grab my arm. Watch this carefully. If he releases me, then I'm able to influence the soul. You got it? But let's suppose he's got a bad spirit. Suppose he's got a tight spirit. Suppose he's upset with somebody. Suppose he's upset with something in his life. Guess what he's done? Quench not the spirit. Which means we have the ability to quench the spirit. So, question, what part of us is it that stops the power of God? It is our spirit. Two questions I have for you this morning. Is there anyone in the whole wide world that could walk in here and sit down next to you and just ruin your day?
Amen.
You sit there and here she comes and she sits down in the same pew and you say to your husband, the nerve of that woman coming in here and sitting after all she said and all she did, she's got the nerve to come in here and sit down in the same pew knowing she knows what she did. That little heifer. The nerve of that woman. Look, honey, don't look. Look, but don't look. Can you believe that? Now, I say to you, I'm tired of you holding my hand. I'm getting worried. But I say to you, if there's anybody in the whole wide world, I'll get a pair of boxer shorts. I promise. If there's anybody in the whole wide world that walks in here and sits down next to you and you get all uptight like that, then I say to you, you're quenching the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know that woman you can't stand? She's going to be your next door neighbor in for all eternity. God on purpose is going to put her next door to you. And then when he walks by, he's going to laugh every time he sees you. There's no sense in that. We're going to live forever in heaven. There's no sense in that. And what you do in the meantime while we're here on planet Earth is you quench the Spirit of God. Second thing, I ask this. In everything, we're to give thanks. That's good and bad. In all things. All right? Is there anything going on in your life but right now, every time you think about it, you just grit your teeth? I say to you tonight, you better yield to God and don't quench the Spirit of God. Okay, grab me. So if he releases me, guess what happens now? Now I affect the soul. Now what happens? I start, instead of talking about football or Ohio State, Penn State, and what you do then is you start talking about your bus route and about soul winning, about winning souls, and your conversation because of your soul. Now, I'm not saying that you don't like football or sports. I love sports. After the marriage supper of the Lamb, there will be a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Cowboys won't be there, but there'll be a Super Bowl. And but understand something here. That then you start talking about that's you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. We're goofy. You've been watching too much TBN television. You've been watching too many bleach blonde preachers on television. Way too many. Because now you're associating the power of God with feeling and things like that. No. The power of God is energy. Energy to stay out another hour. Energy to be bold enough to walk up and speak to somebody, even though it's not your nature to do so, and talk to them about being saved. Energy as a preacher to get up and take a stand for what's right and preach for what's right, even though you know it's going to cost you something. Some energy, some power. That's what that is. But if he quenches me and pushes me back, guess, put your arms behind you, son, you're bound. And guess what? I the only thing I am is just saved. Because I'm not talking about God. I am saved. And I will stay saved, but I ain't going to church. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I am saved. But if I release the Spirit of God, releases me, now I start talking about the things of God. If I'm released then and I affect the body, that's when you quit your smoking, cussing, dipping, chewing, running around. Why? You're under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit power is not as spooky as everybody wants to make it to be. Not a matter of your hair standing on end, or a bald-headed man couldn't have the power of God. Amen. There's two cities in Arkansas named after some of you bald people, Bald Knob and Plainview. That's Arkansas. There. We know you're going to heaven because the Bible says there'll be no parting up there. I don't know where they come from. Oh, shut up. Hey, you don't pay much, you don't get much. I saw what you put in that plate. All right, now watch this now. If he quits doing what he's supposed to do physically, all right, he pushes me back. Now, he may talk a good game, but he doesn't go physically be where he's supposed to be. Write this down. Maybe this will help you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Three steps to dedication. First, the body. Second, the mind. Third, the will. The position of the body is the position of the soul. You keep your body home, you keep your soul home. You keep your soul home, your will is going to be affected by wherever your body is. There are people last night did not go to Wednesday night service, but I promise you somebody taught them something. They sat in front of a television set. They had their Wednesday night service. It wasn't in church, but they had a service. You guys sit up all night watching these programs, and some guy comes on, or maybe it's Sunday night, you're supposed to be in church, some guy comes on and talks about bass fishing. He comes on there and says, look, I won $100,000 here, and I won $75,000 over here, and he talks to you for a half hour, and at the end he says, for $99.95, you call me right now, a limited offer. $99.95, you get this CD or DVD, and you too could be a champion fisherman. Yeah. Now, son, you don't even know how to wet a hook. Yeah. But you sit there long enough and listen to that guy long enough, after a while, you say, hey, I can do that. Yeah. And next thing you know, you send him $99.95, and next thing you know, your body's out on a lake somewhere when it ought to be in church. Yeah. And you named the boat Visitation. Somebody asked, well, I'm out on visitation there. And that was funny. I haven't got time to tell you. But understanding your position of the body, God wants you to, he wants you to present yourself as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Amen. Saddam Hussein hiding in a hole, strapping little girls with bombs. Why didn't Saddam Hussein strap himself with a bomb and blow himself up? They'll try to kill you. We're supposed to be living sacrifices, not dead sacrifices for God. All right, so it starts out. Okay, here we go. Going soul winning. You want to be saved? He does. Hurry, devil. You're unbound now. Unbound, unbound. And then Holy Spirit comes, binds the devil, kicks the devil out, brings the life of the man. Holy Spirit keeps you saved so that you can't lose it. But if you don't watch it, if you get a bad spirit, then you'll quench him and he can't influence the soul. So you got to get the thing right. You got to forgive people. And you got to have to realize that God knows in Romans 8, 28 and 29, you're going to have to agree with God. How about having peace?
Amen.
How about making peace with your enemies? How about making peace? My wife has had 25 surgeries in these 28 years. She's 95% of her time now spent in bed. She has a bone density of a 90-year-old. She has a staph infection from the last surgery that she had that she broke her leg 5 years ago, and they couldn't put a rod in it because they're afraid the staph infection would kill her. So her left leg is like this when she walks. It healed crooked. And because of that, it's putting pressure on her hip, and now her hip is going out, but they can't do a hip transplant because of the fact of the staph infection. And she has tumors, I guess maybe 20 tumors on her body, and they have to keep checking them all the time. She had two the size of a fist on both lungs. Had to go through the clavicle area. Four discs taken out of her back, two discs, bone transplants in her neck. They had to go in. The last time they went in, I told that doc, I said, "Doc, will you go in there? Will you shave that bone so it'll do something?" He said, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" I said, "She's been doing this all these years. You shape that bone so she'll start doing that." And he didn't laugh. But the nurse fell off the chair. She thought it was hilarious. But wait a minute now. I have a 17-year-old grandson who has the mind of a 3-year-old. He doesn't look normal, doesn't walk normal, but he's the happiest kid you ever saw in your life. And he brings joy to our life. He thinks the whole world's abnormal. He's the only normal one in the whole world. But wait a minute. I can't afford to be bitter. I can't afford to be mad at God. I've got people back home who look to me and love me, and they need help. They don't need for me to be walking out mad at God. Oh, by the way, you have loved ones that love you and look into you too. And they need to see a smile on your face, and they need to see that everything's all right in my Father's house. It doesn't matter if Obama's president or McCain's president. It doesn't matter. There's both of them going to spend your money.
You're right.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in the White House or who's in God's house.
You're right.
Write it down, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, he didn't say if my president. He said if my people. You know the way I look at this? You're living in the land of Goshen. We're in Egypt. But we're God's children. We're living in the land of Goshen. God's going to take care of us. All you got nothing to worry about. But I say to you, you quench him, and then guess what happens? Then you can't influence your soul and can't influence your body, and you don't have the energy to do what you're supposed to do. Two questions. Is there anybody in the whole wide world walk in here and sit down next to you and you'd start grumbling? Who are you thinking about right now? Don't say it out loud. I preached this in Oklahoma, gave an invitation. And one guy walked up to another guy and said, "I've hated your guts for years. I want to get it right." No, don't do that. Especially don't do it to me. Walk up and say, "I've hated you for years." But do you understand the importance of it? Because you need the power of God. Sinners have got to be saved. They can't be saved. There's no conviction. No conviction, no conversion. We need the power of God. And we can't afford to be walking around because somebody did us wrong. And by the way, if they haven't done you wrong, they will. But you know something? You've done people wrong too, but you won't admit it.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you can be right and be wrong. You can be right and have the wrong spirit. Okay, thank you. Y'all can be seated, but I'm going to call on two of you again. And so, Dave, you stay up here, and you stay up here and sit down right there and behave yourself. All right? Now, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, the pastor talked about Elijah and Elisha. I want to show you something here. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Sometimes I'm afraid we read the Bible too fast. I think we need to slow down a little bit. I like what Dr. Tom Malone said. I read the Bible till my heart burns. And in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9, the scripture says this. You know the story. Here's Elijah, the preacher boy Elisha, following Elijah. Some of the preacher boys decided they'd stay back. They weren't about to cross that river. But Elisha said, "You're not getting out of my sight, man of God. I'm going to stay with you." In verse 9, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said," watch it carefully, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." I go to conferences and young preacher walk up and say, "Brother Gray, would you put your hands on me and pray for a double portion of the Holy Spirit?" And I say, "I can't do that. There's only one Holy Spirit. I can't do that." And a lot of devils, but I can't do that. This is not what he's talking about here. That's a small s. He's talking about the fact here that the spirit of Elisha said, "I want a double portion of that spirit." Yeah. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. Some of your spirits, your attitudes tonight are about the size of a juice cup at the Lord's Supper table.
Yeah.
"Fill me, Lord." Boop. Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
If some of you smile today, you'd crack your face and bleed to death and die before the service was over. But you know why a preacher uses humor? Let me tell you why. Because 3 to 5 minutes, your mind's gone.
Right.
3 to 5 minutes, your mind starts wandering. So he uses humor to get you back. But there's anything any worse than for the preacher to tell his famous joke that he's told 10,000 times, and the only one that laughs is the one visitor that came.
Yeah.
And he's a cackler.
Yeah.
And everybody looks at him and says, "He thought that was funny. He ought to live here all the time." The preacher uses humor to get you back so he can get the truth to you. And sometimes he puts orange juice in that castor oil to get you to take the truth so that you can take it home with you and help you. All right? So some of you have, this is your size of your attitude, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, okay. Trade it in for a cup size. If that's trade it in for a pitcher size today. Trade it in for a rain barrel size. And, okay, an inch pipe, does it restrict the flow of the fluid?
Yes.
Talk to me. I'm not talking to you people no more. Cell phones and no pizza. What in the world? Okay, an inch pipe, does it restrict the flow of the fluid?
Yes,
it does. If I want more fluid to go through, then I'm going to have to get me a 2-inch pipe. Would you agree?
Yes.
If I want more, I'm going to get me a 4-inch pipe. Is that right? Okay, stand up here shoulder to shoulder if you would and face the congregation. So I'm going to let them represent the spirit of man, and I'm going to represent the Holy Spirit. Here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit's trying to get through your spirit to do your work, but you're quenching him. Now, if you open up just a little bit, guess what? That's as much room as he has to flow. If you open up a little bit more, then guess what? He has more room to flow. If you open up all the way, you've got a Jack Hiles on your hands, or all the way, then you've got a Jack Hiles on your hand or a Lee Robertson. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh, but somebody starts talking about you, writes an article about you, slowly come back, and they start jumping on you. Next thing you know, your spirit getting affected. Next thing you know, all of a sudden now, and the more you do that, then the Holy Spirit is pushed back. Come on, when I pause, you say amen. You know it's true.
Amen.
You know it's true. You know it's true.
Yes.
So what do we do? We've got to make sure that our spirit is right.
Right.
Forgiveness is the secret to life.
Yes.
You are not going to make it through life with human beings. Who cares if you're right, if you lose a friend?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about compromising.
Right.
I've got to take a stand. If I got on a plane with John MacArthur, I could wake up. Thank you. I get on a plane with John MacArthur, I could laugh with him and cut up with him, but he ain't preaching for me.
Amen.
Amen. Why can't we be kind and courteous to people?
Yes.
Why can't we keep our spirit right?
Yep.
Why can't we do that?
That's good.
I was on a plane with a young evangelist. I knew his daddy for years, and they went left. They turned left a long time ago. They have rock and roll shows with youth conferences and everything. I mean, they just went that way. And we're on the plane, and I laughed and cut up, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. I knew his daddy, but I hadn't seen him in a long time. And we laughed. We had the best time. And got off the plane, and he said, "Well, where's it was in Chicago?" He said, "Where's H Concourse?" And I said, "Well," I said, "down here." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to G Concourse." And he said, "Oh, where's H?" I said, "Well, you got to go to the left, and then I've got to go to the right." And I started laughing, and I said, "Well, just kind of the way it turned out, isn't it?" And he just laughed and laughed and laughed, and I don't understand. I don't understand us. I was preaching a conference in North Carolina. And I got there, and when I went to my room, they gave me this. You know, normally, a secretary calls and finds out who I'm preaching with. And there was nothing on my card, but I got to the room, and this fellow's name on there. He had written articles against me, written a pamphlet against me, and I'm preaching with him. And I looked at it, and I went, "Oh boy." So I said to the pastor, I said, "Where?" I didn't tell him, but I said, "Where's Brother So, Dr. So and So?" And he said, "Well, he's just down the hall from you." And I said, "How many rooms?" He said, "About to." I said, "What room?" He told me 118. I said, "Okay." So he left. I went down, knocked on the door. He opened the door and he looked at me and he said, "I'm as shocked as you are." And I said, "Look," I stuck my hand out and I said, "Why don't we do it? Why don't we make an agreement? Why don't we agree for 2 days? These people, they don't know up from down about what's going on and how you're upset with me and so on. I said, why don't we just smoke the peace pipe for about 2 days?" That was funny. And he laughed. He said, "Well, how about a little pot? Let's smoke some pot." Joking. I'm joking. He was joking. And I said, let's be, here's not a joke here, huh? I said, "Why don't we just have just not and I said, 2 days from now, you can go back to hating me." And Whitney, he laughed, and "You can write articles against me," and so on. And so we did. We had a wonderful meeting. Wonderful meeting. Now, I'm not going to compromise on that book. You understand? When somebody says that book is not inspired, I'm going to war.
Yes. Right.
When it starts affecting my church
right.
and my
right.
people,
right.
You can forget it. Your music may be a little off, and your skits may be a little worldly, and you may this, that, and the other. I can put up with all that. That don't bother me a lick. But boy, don't you touch my Bible.
Amen.
Don't you touch my Bible. Don't you touch my Bible. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't you touch my Bible. This business saying all the originals are inspired, that's liberalism, always has been, always will be.
Yes, sir.
Anything short of saying the King James Bible is inspired is liberalism.
Yes, sir.
Don't care how you disguise it, it's liberalism. Don't care who you are, don't care how big your church is, it's liberalism.
Yes.
Period. End of sentence.
Yes.
Where was I? Oh, I was talking about the love of God. Now, somewhere in here, you're going to have to learn why can't we just one-on-one just kind of get along with everybody and then go to the pulpit and let everybody know where you stand. But when you walk out, you ought to be able to hug, not the girl's neck, but you ought to be able to hug the guy's neck and say, God bless you, I love you. Why can't we do that?
Amen.
By the way, you people who think you know better than the pastor, I have a solution for you. Why don't you walk down here and surrender to the ministry?
Yeah.
Amen.
That'll work.
Amen.
Why don't you do that?
That's good.
And then we'll take up a Baptist sacrificial offering of $1.98 and send you off to Bible college for 4 years.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, we'll send you a dollar a month.
Yeah.
Be ye warmed and filled. And let you starve to death for 4 years. And come back. Hey, we'll put you in a storefront, too, and give you a bunch of songbooks with the pages missing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chairs that flop to the floor. But we love you.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do that, I'd suggest you follow the man of God.
Amen.
Let him lead you. Now, there's some. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Is there anything that caused you to get uptight and get bitter? That's a sin of the spirit. Is there any person in the whole wide world that you just absolutely wish God would kill them? You hate them because they hate you. Now, you wouldn't say that. You're very pious because you say, "Well, I pray for him every day." And then you walk away saying, I hope a bus runs him over. But God knows, doesn't he?
Yep. Yes,
doesn't God know?
Doesn't he?
Hillary will take care of him. Somewhere in here, this was Jack Hiles.
Yes.
I preached for him 22 years, at least once a month. That was my preacher.
Amen.
That was Lee Robertson. That was Tom Malone. John Rice. God bless John Rice. How many of you ever heard him? Heard John? Oh, my. One time, Lee Robertson at a sword conference talked about tithing to the local church. Dr. Rice went home, put headlines in the sword, said, Dr. Lee Robertson attempting to be Pope of Fundamentalism. Dr. Lee Robertson opened up the sword and saw that. Wrote a letter, canceled Dr. Rice. Dr. Rice called Dr. Hiles. Dr. Hiles told me the story. He said, Dr. Hiles, said, Lee canceled us. I don't understand. Brother Hiles said, Brother Rice, you called him the Pope of Fundamentalism. This was John Rice's response. Well, that's what he was doing. Just as innocent. He'd slice you up and felt like you ought to love him for it. I'm serious. He was oblivious. Dr. Hiles, if there was any movement at all, he'd say, sit down. Dr. Rice, there could be a war going on out there. And it didn't even bother him. You've heard this story. I was there at Brother Traxler's church in Rochester Hills, Michigan. My wife and I were there. It's back in the 70s. You're too young. You're too stupid, too young. But it's back when the Beatles invaded America. Nobody knew what to do with them. We do now. We squish Beatles. That's what we do. And a little girl got up to sing in a miniskirt. It was back in the, no, it just started happening in church, and nobody knew what to do. Dr. Rice got up and said, she sat down, well, now if that hussy's through singing, I believe I'll go ahead and preach the Bible. I said to my wife, did he just say hussy? And she said, yes, he did. Oh, it caused World War III. It was the chairman of the deacon's daughter. God bless Dr. Rice. We were in another church. We went to hear him. And they played the organ while he was praying. Oh, you don't play the organ while Dr. Rice is praying. He stopped and said, shut that box off. He said, if we want to get God's attention, we'll clear the pews out, get a dance band, come down here and just get God's attention. He was hot. Well, the guy kept playing the organ. Dr. Rice stopped and said, do I have to come over there and shut it down myself? So the guy quit playing. Listen to this. The pastor gets up and says, he was a professor at a music professor at a local college. And he said, now, professor, he said, now, when John Rice preaches, don't you, and gives invitations, don't you play. He said, but when John Rice is gone, then I get up and you go ahead and you play. Dr. Rice got off his seat, walked up, and here's what he said. He said, I'll never be back. You're not going to mock God's man.
Yeah.
And walked out. Now, Dr. Rice, he was oblivious to how you took it. He thought that preacher just ought to love him for standing for what's right. Do you know why you love John Rice? He's dead. Because if he were alive right now, the folks get ticked off at me, they'd kill him. What's your spirit like? I'm just saying that that great group of fundamental leaders that we had great spirits.
Yep.
I'll tell you the difference. They didn't agree with each other. But they never said anything publicly.
You're right. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Dr. Howe said we'd sit back in what they call the speaker's room and wouldn't talk to each other. He said, I don't know why they call it the speaker's room. He said nobody would speak. But then one of them get up and brag on Dr. Howe, and Dr. Howe's brag on them. And they kept their spirit right. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. What's your spirit like? Because I tell you, that's the key to the Holy Ghost of God and His power. And that's the key to conviction of sinners and harlots and drunkards and people whose marriages are messed up and adulterers. It's going to have to be the Spirit of God that convicts. Amen. But it's not going to happen. Okay. On the day of Pentecost, we're about 120 there, right? The Bible says they're all one mind and one accord. So apparently, if we 120 of show up and the only one that's excited is the man of God, then you've only got one person that's got the Spirit. The Spirit of God does not live in this building. The Spirit of God lives in your soul.
That's right.
What, know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? If 10 people show up and one's excited, you have a 10% Spirit-filled service. Come on, help me now. If 5 out of the 10 show up Spirit-filled, you got a 50% Spirit-filled service. If 9 show up, it's 90%. If all 10 show up, you got yourself a Pentecost.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't afford to come in here and sit down and tighten up and be upset about some person or something.
That's right.
Because you will quench the Holy Spirit of God on your pew. Have you ever walked into a room and said there's something wrong here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think people can walk into a church building and sense that there's something wrong?
Yeah.
Right.
Then I say to you that we are responsible, not just the man of God, to get up and be Spirit-filled and excited about what's going on, but you have a responsibility sitting in these pews. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm not through yet. Some of you looking at me cross-eyed. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Don't make me keep going. I'm hungry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 23. Let me show you something here. We're going to get out of here. Is it noon? My stomach says it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church become together into one place and all speak with tongues, don't panic. That's glossa in the Greek, which means physical languages. And I can prove it because it says, and there come in those that are unlearned. You learn a language. Or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? A fellow walks in, everybody's speaking a different language. And they're just gibbering away. This unsaved man, he's going to say, these people are nuts. And that's what the world thinks about tongue talkers too, by the way. It's only you backslidden Baptists that are attracted to tongue talkers because you can go to Hollywood movies and drink your cocktails and go to dance and act like a stinking worldly person. That's the reason you like them. Bunch of backslidden Christians become charismatics and not lost people. They know you're nuts. Verse 24. But if all prophesy, that means plain declaration. And there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of, what's the next word? All. Help me. Convinced of? Talk to me. Convinced of? Didn't say convinced of the preacher. The convicting, which is the same word, the convincing comes from the people sitting in the pew, not the guy behind the pulpit. Boy, if we could resurrect Jack Hiles, we could have revival in Ravenna. Our church would really take off. Jack Hiles couldn't do any more with you than what your preacher is because you let him.
Amen.
The power's in the hand of the pew. He could come up and be excited and preach his heart out. And you sit there and as that guy was sleeping, I said, wake that guy up. Another guy said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. Smart Ellie. All right. But of all prophesying, there coming one unlearned, but believeth not, one unlearned, he's convinced of all. Look at the rest of it. He is judged of Talk to me. Judged of? The conviction and the judging of sin does not come because of one man behind the pulpit. It comes because of the people sitting in the pew. Open your big fat mouth and say amen.
Amen.
It's the work done as a team. See?
Yes.
That's why you ladies ought to smile and nod your head up and down. Good night. Don't be a target. Preacher says something controversial. Don't do this. Because that means about 10 more minutes of this sermon, I'll tell you. All right, and look at verse 25. Look at the result. And thus are the secrets of his heart, this is the lost man's heart, made manifest or unveiled or revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God, this is a lost man now, and report, watch it carefully, that God, watch it carefully, is in the preacher. Does it say that?
No.
Aren't you glad you got a King James Bible?
Yeah.
Is in, help me, you. You make the difference.
Yes.
Preacher gets up and preaches it hard out and studies 8 hours for a sermon and prepares it and delivers it as best he can, packs it best he can, use a little humor in there to get you back and then make sure we get that truth across. And then you sit out there and you're mad at some sister or some brother in Christ and you sit there and you tighten yourself up and the Holy Ghost of God is quenched and cannot flow through you. He does not live in this building. He lives in your body. And you sit there as a teenager upset with some other girl or some boy or something like that. And your boyfriend or girlfriend or a couple sits here and mad at somebody else because they owe them some money. And they sit in the service and we get all tight and upset. We understand from the scripture now that nobody can be convicted or the judge of their sin. So they'll fall down their face and worship God and get born again because you are quenching the Spirit of God. Who is it? What is it? Listen, you think you got enemies. Son, you don't even know what enemies are. I got people that hate me that ain't never met me. I know places, I'm surprised that hadn't happened here, but somebody walks up and said, I've heard you on tape for years. I don't like you. One lady, 5 years in a row, she said, you're getting better. You're getting better. I was in New York, and a lady walked up, question and answer, and she said, you know what, you're not very funny, but you think you're funny. And he said, I guess that's what makes you funny, the fact you think you're funny. I mean, well, thanks a lot, lady. Thanks for coming. You know, glad you're here. You just ruined my spirit. Now, look, you got one life to live. It ain't worth it. Why don't some of you husbands learn to look at your wife and say, I'm sorry? Who cares how she does the furniture?
Right.
Who gives a rip? As long as there's a couch in that house, I don't care.
Right.
As long as there's a lazy boy there and there's some iced tea there, I don't care.
Amen.
You can put it in the front door. I don't, right now, as I come in, great, I can lay down right now. I don't care. The stuff you fight about is absolutely... Listen, I was raised American Baptist. Listen, oh, man. The stories I could tell you. We had a woman. She's dead now. I think I can use her name. Her name was Maul Black. Maul Black. I hope we don't have a Maul Black. We do? Oh, Lord. Do we really? Is that your name?
W. Black.
Well, this is a big fat woman, so it's not you. But... I'm sorry, well upholstered. I knew she still had a shadow. She applied for group insurance and got it. But anyway, sat in a classroom and everybody sat next to her, but stood up and turned around and cleared the blackboards and walked down the hallway, shut all the lockers. Now, built a new building, and they're having a business meeting about different things. She stood up and said, I do not want the baptistry in the main auditorium. Because it ruins the decor. 3 hours later, she filibustered and got to where they put the baptistry in the basement. I can take you to the church today and show it to you. Put it in the basement. That same church bought a brand new grand piano. They fought for 3 hours over which side of the auditorium the piano ought to be. The church split right down the middle, and one group came at 9 o'clock and headed over here. And everybody sat there. This is the gospel truth. And at 10 o'clock, crowd would come and take the piano and shove it across the other side. And they'd have church on this side. This went on for 5 long years. Then they had to vote to replace the carpet. How stupid can we be? It is not worth it. You know, I think that Robert's rule, I think when somebody said, I make a motion, the devil said, ooh, I like that. Isn't it amazing? I worked for General Motors for 7.5 years. We never had a business meeting one time. And it was the largest corporation, as well, second to the Catholics. But we got to have a business meeting every month so we give an opportunity to fight. I make a motion we buy pink toilet paper. I don't care what color it is. Why don't you vote on a budget and let the pastor run the stinking thing? I mean the sweet-smelling thing. That's the way it ought to be, you see. Now, I say to you tonight, that this morning or whenever we are, wherever we are, I don't even know where we are, but I say, please don't let anybody in the whole wide world, you have a sweet smile, you get your eyes are clear, that's good, you drink once a month, but that's not bad, you know. But who? Your parents' fault. Ma Black! Are you a black? I'm a gray. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Have we taken up the offering already? But you can't, I tell you how to keep that beautiful smile. Your eyes are clear. Don't let anyone get you goat. And don't let anything get your goat. And learn to smile and say, God's in control. And everything's fine. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The altar's open. The pianist is going to come and let's all stand. And I think it might be good if we come and say, God, help me. Now, maybe you're not facing it now. Maybe you're young, you're healthy, everything's fine. But there's a day you're going to need this sermon. You say, well, my church is doing good. The deacons love me. The people love me. But somebody's going to turn on you. And I don't wish it on anybody. The altar's open. Please don't stand there when the pianist plays. Would you come right now? Just come on right now. Find you a spot at the altar. You know, I like preventative messages more than curative. And it might do good to come down here and say, Lord, remind me of this, because right now it seems like all the friends are with me and I don't have any attacks in my life, but Lord, remind me of this. And you cannot forgive unless you've been forgiven. If you're not saved this morning, would you come and receive Christ as Savior? Because you have no ability, no capacity to forgive anybody. And those of you that do not confess your sins on a regular basis and do not have forgiveness fresh in your life, that's the reason you don't forgive others. So I would suggest that you get in the habit of just coming to God and saying, God, forgive me. Obtain forgiveness. Every time there's an invitation given, take advantage of it and obtain forgiveness. That's why when they walked in the outer courtyard, there was no floor and there was no ceiling and the feet were dirty. And they would come to what was the looking glass, the bowl, the laver. And that looking glass was shaped in such a way that it would immediately show their feet. And then they would cleanse themselves. But they had to do it every time. And I say to you that you cannot live a day without having to come and seek forgiveness, because you're walking in a dirty old world. If you'll seek forgiveness on a regular basis, you can give forgiveness on a regular basis. But when you become a holier than thou and a Pharisee, and you're the only right one in the whole congregation, everybody else is wrong, you'll never forgive. You cannot forgive unless you've been forgiven. You must have a good spirit. If you don't have a good spirit, you'll have no power with God. None whatsoever. And boy, when you speak to a guy who's on dope and a gal who's given her body to lustful men, and there's addiction, there's dope addiction, and you're going to have to have a whole lot more power than just your personality. You're going to have the power of God. And it's the power of God that's going to speak to hearts and convict as we uplift Christ. Quench not the Spirit. That means you have the ability to do so. And what a shame. What a shame. To shut down the power that created the worlds and brings comfort, the paraclete. My, my, my. Father, I ask you now to bless this congregation. And I ask you to use them. Lord, we're going to come into contact with people we'll probably never see again. And may we have a good spirit. And may we not lose our spirit because someone does us what we call wrong. And those things that happen as we get older and our bodies begin to break down and our loved ones become ill and things begin to happen, may we not be bitter. May we thank you for anything above salvation and realize being saved, that's it. Anything above that's just pure bonus. God, we live in America. We've been a bunch of spoiled brats. And because of that, I ask you to forgive us. Because we get so upset over things in third world countries, they would give their right arm to have the crumbs off of our table. May we have a good spirit and have the power of God. And when we speak, you speak. God bless this pastor and bless this congregation, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen, Pastor.
Thank you. All God's people said. Dr. Gray will be preaching tonight at 7 o'clock. We want to invite all you to, if you can, to come back. If there's any pastors here that need a room to stay overnight, we can put you up in the Super 8 over there in Kent. We're gonna have dinner for those, the staff and the preachers and their wives, and it's gonna be in this building directly as you go out the door here. So let's have a moment of prayer, and then we'll. Boy, wasn't that great?
Amen.
Man, that was great. I'm gonna ask one of our preacher boys, Bill Turner. Would you come, Brother Billy? Billy, one of ours was associate pastor here. One of our surrendered underneath our ministry. Pat, he's been over in Lyman about 2.5 years now, 3 years, Brother Billy. Open Door Baptist Church, right?
Yes, sir.
One of our preacher boys, and we're proud of him. And I'm going to have him lead in prayer and thank God for the food that we're going to have.
Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for the truths of the Scriptures, Father. We just thank you for this message. Thank you for the Bethel Baptist Church, Lord. Continue to bless this ministry, Father. Lord, we're just asking you to help us, Lord, to do something for you today, Lord, and tomorrow, and build for the future, Father. We ask you to bless this food to our bodies, Lord. Just take care of each of us. Give us a good service tonight, Lord. And thank you so much for the message, Jesus. In thy name we pray, amen.